The World Tomorrow. Garner Ted Armstrong brings you the plain truth about today's world news and the prophecies of the world tomorrow.
What is the true gospel? What does the word gospel mean? Gospel, a word that almost no one seems to understand. You can hear the gospel of grace, the gospel of salvation, the gospel of love, the gospel of Jesus, the gospel of Christ, the gospel of God, the gospel of the kingdom, the gospel of faith, and on go the religious-sounding descriptions in connection with the word gospel. You know, gospel seems to rhyme with Goshen, or maybe even gosh in some people's language, or gosling or something. And it has just about as much meaning to many people. If they see a lot of hymn singing and hand clapping, if they see some sort of religious exercise in progress, people feel that is a gospel meeting. They hear certain kinds of music that we call gospel music. You hear of gospel singers, gospel records. But what in the world does the word gospel mean? I'm going to show you in a three-part series what is the true gospel. First, for this program, we're going to take a look at some of the scriptures in your own Bible that Jesus did preach a gospel. What is that gospel? What is its name? Is the book of Matthew, that people refer to as the gospel of Matthew, or the gospel according to Matthew, is it really Matthew's gospel? Now, first, if you were to go look in the dictionary and find out what the word gospel means, you'd find it's merely an old archaic King James English word that should have disappeared in about 1911, but that religionists and religious types have carried it on over into our modern 20th century, and it's lost all meaning because of a kind of a continual repetition. Many people simply do not know what the word gospel means. If you were to say that the word gospel merely means good tidings, good news, glad tidings, or it's taken from the Evangelio in the Spanish, or evangel, when you hear of a person who is an evangelist, it means a person who preaches the gospel. But if the gospel is some kind of an idea of his own, or just religious sanctimonious sounds, or he's talking about faith, or he's talking about hope, or he's talking about love, is that the gospel that Jesus brought? Well, first, the word gospel does not mean go spell. It means good news. That's all it means. And if we were to say in a modern English version that this is a good news message, people wouldn't misunderstand. They think they're going to hear something which is news, and news means that. News. Maybe people take north, east, west, and south out of that. It means from all points of the globe comes news. Well, it means new happening. What's new? What is going on? What is about to occur, and what is happening today? And really, that's what the gospel should mean to you. It means what's happening today. What is the meaning of what's happening today, and what is about to happen in the future? But is that really the connotation that comes into most people's minds when they hear the word gospel? I dare say no. It basically is an historical idea. It's a story about what happened in yesteryear, long, long ago, when men wore white robes and had sanctimonious expressions and talked about faith, hope, and charity, and love your neighbor and turn the other cheek. But does it have anything to do with the energy crisis? Does gospel and gospel preaching and the gospel that Jesus brought have to do with lower thermostats in homes, with higher costs of living, with agricultural crises, with international relations and geopolitics? Now, you would say it would take some kind of a minuet, a real tippy-toeing around the issues and a bizarre twisting of the Bible to make the gospel apply to those things. I will prove to you in this three-part series that it doesn't take any misapplication or twisting whatsoever. When we get into what the gospel is and how Jesus preached it, we will see very clearly, as in the 24th chapter of the book of Matthew, that the gospel includes prophecy for the future, news of yesteryear, and news of today, and news of tomorrow. But first, let's take a look at some of the scriptures we have right here about how Jesus began to preach what is called the gospel. Sections, excerpts of your own Bible that you can find right at home in your own Bible. So you can mark it down if you have a pencil, or if you're listening on the radio, jot it down, and then later on, go to your own Bible, look it up, and see what it says. In the beginning sections of the book of Matthew in chapter 4, verse 17, it says, from that time Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now in Matthew 4 and verse 23, it enlarges that a little bit and said that he went about all of Galilee, teaching their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom. If we were to say in modern English that that means good news, that would be exactly allowable according to the scriptural intent. The good news of the kingdom. News in advance of the coming kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. He talked about the gospel. Now let me ask you this question. Is that statement you're looking at, Matthew 4, the gospel? No, it's a statement that somebody is preaching the gospel. That's like saying this way. If you see an ad in your local newspaper, and it says, Garner Ted Armstrong is coming to deliver a message, it would be rather ridiculous to say that if you read the ad, you've already read the message. Now get my point, please, because people seem to feel that if you were to open the Bible to this scripture we just read, Matthew 4 and verse 23, and you say, and Jesus went about all Galilee, you've got to sound religious to do it, preaching the gospel, that's what you're hearing. If I were to say that you're hearing the gospel, no, that's not what you're hearing. You're hearing an historical fact that Jesus did go about churches way back then, and that he preached the gospel. Now the question is, what did he preach? When you find out what his message was, then you find out what the gospel is. But reading statements out of the Bible about the gospel being preached, that is not the gospel. The gospel doesn't consist of religious sounds or religious songs or anything of the kind. It is a specific message that has to do with news, good news. Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease. Now, is healing then a part of the gospel? Technically, no. The Bible reveals that when people were healed miraculously during Jesus' day, it was as a witness. It's just as much like credentials. In the absence of a doctor's degree or some credentials from men, which Jesus denied and said there's no need of, he said that he spoke by the power and the authority of the Father which dwelt in him. He said, the Father which dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. And he said, though you believe not me, believe the works. He talked about authority which came from the Spirit of God from heaven through Jesus Christ, that those were his credentials. And if the doubter, the scoffer, or the disbeliever was there and saw the many things happening, as a matter of fact, the apostles of John, the disciples, I should say, of John, on one occasion got rather upset. We might come to that a little bit later on. And Jesus told them, you go and tell John the things which you both hear and see. Because he said, the poor have the gospel preached to them. That's fine. That was the message they heard. That's the gospel. And the sick are healed and so on. So when healings occurred, it was plainly a, you might say, verification of his authority to preach the gospel. It was proof to even a scoffer that God was backing him up with miracles that were occurring. But people today, honestly, I believe if you see an ad in a newspaper that somebody is going to be on the stage of us in such an auditorium and bring all your sick and so on, they think that this is the gospel. No, it is not. It plainly is not. Technically, the scripture proves that the preaching of the gospel of the kingdom is one thing. That's a message about the coming kingdom of God that is enlarged in many other places in the Bible. And healing every sickness and every disease among the people is the supportive miracle which gives weight and form and shape to the credentials of Jesus Christ that prove and document his messiahship. Let's look at the next one, Matthew the 10th chapter. And as you go, he told his disciples, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now, Mark, Luke, and John all call it the kingdom of God. You would not say it is the kingdom that is in God, and so why do people say it is the kingdom in heaven? When one scripture after another, which I have proved many times in the past with those particular scriptures here, prove that the reward of the saved is not heaven, but this earth. Jesus then preached the gospel, but the statements that he did so are not the gospel, but merely an historical statement that he preached something. Now, so far, so good. We have proved, technically, that healing is not preaching the gospel, it's healing. It's a credential, it's a proof, it's a witness, it's a sign to an unbeliever that sees this miracle, and it's a great blessing to the believer who receives it, and it proves the messiahship and the authenticity of the person who is being used of God to perform such a miracle. But it's not the gospel. The gospel is called the gospel of the kingdom. By Mark, Luke, and John, it's called the gospel of the kingdom of God. By Matthew, the gospel of the kingdom of heaven. The apostle Paul calls it the gospel of the kingdom. And throughout the book of Acts, Luke writes of how the apostle Paul preached the gospel of the kingdom of God. We've come to that point. It is a message. It's good news. It's news in advance about the kingdom of God. We'll come back in just 1 minute and go several steps further.
Men shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more.
When? When will man's dreams become reality? What would it take for the Arabs and Israelis to lay down their arms? What would it take for Russia and China to become allies? What would it take for all nations to forge their armaments into farm tools? The whole gospel of Jesus Christ is about a soon coming world government that will bring world peace. For a full understanding of this message of hope, request your free copy of What Do You Mean, the Kingdom of God? Read how mankind will learn to forge his swords into plowshares. Request What Do You Mean, the Kingdom of God? Dial this toll-free number, 800-423-4444. That's 800-423-4444.
That booklet will give you a lot more to read in your own home, where you can underline the scriptures in your own Bible if you wish and prove to yourself once and for all exactly what is the gospel that Jesus preached, because it's called the gospel of the kingdom. Now, if you're talking about something that is practical and factual on this earth, you don't try to water it down or spiritualize it away, so to speak, or make it mean something that it doesn't mean. If you're going to get a ticket and go to the kingdom of thus and such, whether it's zilch or the kingdom of nerd over in Europe in some small area, you know that you've got to go to a travel agency, find out, well, let's deal with one that really exists, like Liechtenstein. The capital is Vaduz. Most people never heard of Vaduz. It sounds like a terrible place. Actually, it's a beautiful, idyllic little Swiss, kind of an alpine thing, sandwiched in between Switzerland and Austria, and a little tiny Lilliputian nation, they call it. Now, there isn't any such country, so far as I know, as Zilch or Nerd, but there is Liechtenstein and San Marino, Vatican, and Monte Carlo. You've heard of some of those, of course. And these little tiny nations or principalities in Europe are oftentimes ignored by most people in their geographical studies. They've virtually never heard of them. Well, you could go there. You'd go to a travel agent. You'd have to get a ticket, and you'd have to arrange your trip and plan for it, and you would go there. Now, once you got there, you know that a principality means that there is a prince, that there is a little government there, that it has laws, that there are people who live there, and that it is a country. Why do we take some notion when Jesus talks about a kingdom, but it's the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven? It's called the gospel of the kingdom of God. Why then do we say that this means anything other than just what it says? When Jesus himself proves throughout many analogies in the Bible that God the Father is the king, you might say, supreme, but into Jesus' hand and upon his head is given a crown, that he is the coming king. He's pictured that way throughout the Bible. I think practically anybody who has ever preached at all realizes there are many scriptures in the Bible that talk about Jesus Christ coming with a crown upon his head, or even many crowns, symbolic of his many authorities and offices. And it shows that he is a returning king, and every single message that has ever been sent back talks about a returning, conquering king. So every kingdom has got to have four things. You'll read that in the booklet if you write for it, on just what is the kingdom of God. There's got to be a king. There has to be a territory over which he rules. Now, I approve technically going through many, many scriptures, first of all disproving it is going to be in heaven, and then proving in detail with the authority and the weight of the Bible itself behind me that he is going to rule on this earth. Many scriptures say that he is going to rule on the earth. It says, we shall reign on the earth. The meek shall inherit the earth. In that day his feet shall stand on the Mount of Olives. He shall so come in like manner as you've seen him go. There are irrefutable biblical proofs by the literal score that talk about an earthbound, at that time, world-ruling kingdom of God on this earth. The gospel, then, of the kingdom is the good news in advance about the coming of that kingdom. It talks about when it's going to rule, the kind of a rule it's going to have, the laws by which it will govern, who its subjects are, what kind of a life they will have, the conditions, believe it or not, that are extant on the earth, even involving animals and plant life, agrarian reform, linguistic reform, religious reform, are all revealed in the Bible. Here in the 11th chapter of the book of Matthew is a statement that I referred to earlier, where it was said that the disciples of John came, and they were a little upset, apparently, because John was in jail expecting nothing but martyrdom, but Jesus was here in the midst of a large public ministry. And so he said, you go tell John the things that you hear and see. Breaking the middle of the cloth, that's in verse 4. Now verse 5 says, the blind receive their sight, and the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, the dead are raised up. None of those are preaching the gospel. Those are miracles. They were true. They occurred. I believe they literally happened. But he said, and the poor, and it means the poor in spirit, the poor in heart, so to speak, not necessarily just poor in material goods, have the gospel preached to them. Now, when Jesus said this to the disciples of John, he was not preaching the gospel any more than I right now am preaching the gospel when I take time out to talk about. They had the gospel preached to them. I preach the gospel only when I expound and explain to you about the kingdom of God, who is going to be in it, how it's going to come, what conditions are going to be like, about when it might arrive, according to what Jesus said in the Olivet Prophecy, conditions to prevail on the earth when it's here, where it's going to be, how long it's going to rule, and so on. Then I'm preaching the gospel. But when I read to you a scripture that somebody else had the gospel preached to them, no matter how religious I might sound for the moment, that isn't gospel preaching, no matter what you may think. Now let's take a look further in Mark, the 13th chapter, in verse 10. He said, and the gospel must first be published among all nations. Now, we use the word publishing today, and people tend to think that means printed. You could say technically that it could include that, but really the word published from the Greek into the English language merely means spread abroad, made public, preached, taught, from the written word or the spoken word in whatever vehicle you might use, that it is to be preached and published. So that is included in that statement in Mark, but it says it must first be published or spread abroad. What does it mean first? Well, you'll find that Mark, the 13th chapter, and Luke, the 21st chapter, and Matthew, the 24th chapter, are all what are called the Olivet Prophecy. And it has to do with the prophecy that Jesus gave right in Jerusalem around the buildings of the temple, and perhaps later on the Olivet, or the Mountain of Olives, but it has to do with projections or prophecies into the future about what is going to happen. And one major prophecy was that the message of the kingdom of God must be spread abroad through all nations, and then, he said, shall the end come. So the preaching of the gospel is a prophecy. Well, let's take a look further at Luke, the 7th chapter. This same statement that Matthew made is repeated by Luke's account of it, that Jesus answered, said unto them, this is the disciples of John, go your way and tell John what things you have seen and heard. Now, you can't see the gospel, but you can hear the gospel. And so the things that they had seen were witnesses or testimony to the authenticity of Jesus, to the true messiahship of Jesus, but that wasn't the gospel. If people have a giant healing campaign, that's their right, that's their privilege. People can stand on the pulpit and the audience can be out there moaning, and they can, I don't know, I have never talked to people who profess to have been healed at a time like that. I've heard all sorts of bizarre things, but I don't think anybody ought to be judged based upon what they hear, and I don't think it's for me to judge those people or the people who go there. I'm saying that that's their right and that's their privilege. They can advertise in the papers and say, come and be healed. But I am saying that technically, if that's what's going on, and there is no message that is a message about the kingdom of God, that what people are getting there is not the gospel. This scripture proves it. It says, you go tell John what things you have seen and heard, how that, the blind see, that's a miracle, the lame walk, same comment, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, that happened only very rarely and maybe a very few times in the entirety of the Bible. To the poor, the gospel is preached. All right, the preaching of the gospel then is the preaching of a message. But the statement in the Bible that it was preached is not the gospel, but a statement of historic fact that someone, in this case Jesus Christ, was preaching the gospel. The question is, what did he preach?
The Ambassador College publication, What is the True Gospel?, answers one of the most divisive questions of our time. We live in a world of many different religions. While teaching peace and harmony among men, their people are led to war against one another. Witness the Hindu-Muslim conflict in India, Pakistan, the Protestant-Catholic confrontation in Northern Ireland, and the Jew-Arab crisis, all believing they have true religion. Ironic, isn't it? With over 400 denominations in the Western Christian world, haven't you ever wondered which one is right? Who teaches what Jesus did? This free article helps you understand that message in the light of today's world. Send for What is the True Gospel? Your copy is free. There's no charge or follow-up. What is the True Gospel?
These two booklets of What is the Kingdom of God and What is the True Gospel are both really supportive of each other. They deal with basically the same subject, except that one attacks it from one angle and another from another, and the one on the Kingdom of God is far more detailed in the exact substance of the message Jesus brought than perhaps the other one is. You need them both. You'll find many scriptures that might be a little bit repetitious in them, but you'll find that each one contains things the other does not. We'd like to send them both to you. They're, of course, absolutely free of charge and no price whatsoever. We'll get them to you as soon as we receive your letter, and hopefully you will print your name and return mail address on the outside. That will help us to get it to you more speedily. Be sure to include, if you would, your zip code. So those two booklets, absolutely free of charge, will lay to rest once and for all any doubts in anybody's mind about what is the true gospel and what it contains. And I believe that you will follow along in this and the next couple of programs, that you'll have a complete, thorough summary of exactly what the gospel is, and you're going to see the scriptures right before your own eyes. Continuing then in Luke 9, he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. The healing of the sick was not the preaching. It was merely a great blessing for those who were healed and a great witness and a testimony for those who were not. It was supportive. It was substantive. It was demonstrable proof that there was power and authority from God that was working so that people would listen to the message more. In effect, you might say that even the gifts of the Spirit that are mentioned clear back in the 14th chapter and especially the 12th chapter of 1 Corinthians, for those that know a little bit about the Bible, and very few people do, but those are tools of evangelism. They really are. If you look into the actual use that God put those great healings and those other great signs and wonders and so on too, it was to get people to listen, to shock them into an awareness that something is going on here that is not of man, that is of God. It was therefore a tool of evangelism. It was a witness to people. But to make a ministry out of that is not what Jesus Christ intended. As we'll see later, he called his own disciples and said, go, we've already seen one scripture, and preach the gospel of the kingdom as a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. That's putting together Matthew 24:14 and Matthew 28, I know. But nevertheless, the commission of the church is to preach the gospel of the kingdom of all the world, and then shall the end come. Let's notice Luke 9, verse 60 then. Here was a case where a young man had been called of Jesus, and he was going to follow him, but he said, my dad just died, and maybe I had better go home for this big funeral. And Jesus said, let the dead bury their dead. Not an unkind statement if you look into the real meaning of it in the Greek, and what the commentaries say, I think, is largely true on that. It means spiritually dead. Those that don't understand, that really pay undue attention to that, let them be involved in that. But go you and preach the kingdom of God. Preaching the message, reading a statement that he was to go preach the message, that isn't the gospel. But whatever that message was that he preached, that is. Now, if there's any one more succinct statement about the kingdom of God that I know of, other than some of the parables we're going to see next time. We're going to see several parables next time. I'll give you a little foretaste of that. But first, before I interrupt myself, I don't know of any other more succinct than these next two verses we're going to come to, John 18:36 and 37. So, now that that thought's completed, next time we're going to go through several of the parables. Matthew 13, we're going to go through some back in the book of Luke, where Jesus talks about the kingdom of God, and continually he says, the kingdom of God is like unto. It's like unto this and that. He talks about the pearl of great price, the woman that finds treasure in the field. He talks about a young nobleman who went away into a far country to get for himself a kingdom and to return. He talks about rulership even over cities. It describes conditions even on this earth, and we'll throw in a couple of Old Testament prophecies, like the 11th chapter of the book of Isaiah, that show you exactly what that kingdom is like, what is going to happen on earth while it is ruling, approximately when, at least in the conditions that are going to happen on the earth, it is going to come. But now to conclude in the next couple of 3 minutes, let's take a look at these most important scriptures. In John 18:36, Jesus answered and said, my kingdom is not of this world. Now don't be fooled by the word world, because the Greek word aeon or cosmos, the two that are used, means age. In the case of cosmos, it means system or society. You've heard the word cosmopolitan, from which the word cosmos comes. My kingdom is not of this time, then, is a fair rendering of this age, of this aeon, of this period of history. And it isn't really of this world in the sense that it's not here right now. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews, but now is my kingdom not from hence. Now is qualifying, clarifying. Now it is not from hence. Pilate then said, and this was at his trial prior to his death, are you a king then? And Jesus answered, you say that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth hears my voice. So he said, my kingdom is not of this world. If it were, then his servants would be warring, fighting, political, military, etc., just like any other kingdom would be. That isn't what Jesus intended. It's not what he implied. But it doesn't mean that it's off in cloud nine. It doesn't mean that it's nebulous and way off in the clouds or the ether somewhere. It is going to come back to the earth, as we shall very clearly prove next time. Notice here in 1 Corinthians 15, some vitally important scriptures. And those that I think have misunderstood the message, they've heard my father before me and me and I on radio for these many years talking about the gospel of the kingdom of God, they think we leave out Jesus Christ. Nonsense. You cannot leave out Jesus Christ. Look at these words. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand, by which also you are saved. So the gospel is a saving message. If you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you believed in vain, for I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received. He received the gospel. How that? Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. So the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ of Nazareth are the backbone of the gospel. He can't be a king. He can't qualify to rule. He can't come again unless he's still alive. You can't leave that out of the gospel. It's all a part of the same thing. Next time, then, we will see some of the parables I talked about, and you'll see in greater detail exactly what the gospel of Jesus Christ of Nazareth is. In the meantime, write for these booklets, just what is the kingdom of God and what is the true gospel? This booklet, What is the True Gospel, shows you where to look in your own Bible to answer every single one of these questions that I have asked. What is the gospel? To whom did Jesus bring it? Who listened to it? To whom did he commission to go preach it? What does it teach? Is it a New Testament or an Old Testament gospel? If you believe in the New Testament gospel, could you possibly believe in the Old Testament of the Bible? What is the gospel of the kingdom? Is it for some future age yet to come? Or was it for an age of the past? Has it already been preached and that doesn't belong in our time today? Now we talk about the social gospel, or the gospel of grace. And what is the promise of the gospel? Does it promise you inheritance of a literal physical kingdom? Or does it promise that you're going to go to heaven? What is the true gospel? While you're at it, why don't you request the current number of the Plain Truth magazine? We'll send it to you by return mail, free of charge. The address is Garner Ted Armstrong, Pasadena, California. The zip code is 91123. That's Garner Ted Armstrong, Pasadena, California, 91123. Until next time, this is Garner Ted Armstrong saying goodbye, friends.
You have heard The World Tomorrow with Garner Ted Armstrong, sponsored by the Worldwide Church of God. For literature offered on this program, send your requests along with the call letters of this station to Garner Ted Armstrong, Pasadena, California, 91123. Or you may dial this toll-free number, 800-423-4444.